Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, Air Force vet and Dr. Ryan Freeland. Then we'll discuss climate change with Greg Wrightstone. And former Border Patrolman Gil will discuss the southern border. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to welcome Dr. Ryan Freeland to the show. He's a friend, and occasionally I'm his patient. He served our nation honorably and well. Thanks for joining us today, Doc.
Thanks for having me, Colonel. It's a privilege to be here.
Ryan, start by telling us when and why you joined the military. Were you already a doc when you joined? What drew you to the uniform?
When I joined the military, I was actually a medical student in Chicago. I was a first-year medical student, but if I told my full story into the military, I had a very dear friend who was a West Point graduate and a West Point student at the time I got interested in the military. He was 4 years older than me. I was in high school, became interested when I was a sophomore and junior, sort of following his career path at West Point. I visited West Point as a high school student, even visited the Air Force Academy. And the short version is I set aside the military at that time, decided not to apply to those schools, but I think I always had in my mind to have a military experience. Well, fast forward in time about 6 years from there, I went to a civilian undergrad, studied pre-med, got into medical school, was fortunate enough to attend Loyola University Chicago. The military actually put me through school after I applied for a scholarship my first year in medical school. So I wasn't quite a physician yet. But your tax dollars, thank you very much, Colonel, and listeners, helped get me through medical school. So I joined as what is known as a health profession scholarship program recipient, and the U.S. government and the U.S. Air Force paid for 3 years of my medical school, which in turn incurred a three-year service obligation, and that's how I got started as a reservist medical corps officer in the Air Force.
You know, it makes sense that the military would do that because we need good people on active duty, and that doesn't sound like anything but a good idea from my perspective. I suspect all the services get docked that way.
Absolutely, and there are a couple of ways for physicians to get into the military. There are direct commissions, there are ROTC, and then health profession scholarship folks, depending on what area of medicine you wind up into, but a range of commission types. But I was commissioned as a reserve officer in medical school. So if you're a physician, as a civilian, just looking to pay back loans, there are loan repayment programs, and there are other ways to get to the military with commitments generally ranging from approximately 2 to 5 years. If you just signed up as a physician while I was going through training, so my scholarship basically incurred my initial service obligation. So from my initial service obligation, I had a three-year commitment. And beyond my medical school training, as well as my internship training, I was first assigned at Hurlburt Field in Florida. I was a flight surgeon, a general medical officer flight surgeon in the special operations community. And my first job in the Air Force was in serving as a flight surgeon for a helicopter squadron, an MH-53 Pavlo squadron. So my first years in the Air Force were very much operational. So I had two tours as a flight surgeon, one in the special operations community, and then one in Germany, taking care of a group of fighter pilots at Spangdahlem Air Base. So I had a variety of experiences in flight medicine, and my duties ranged from anything in primary care to operational medicine to a little bit of trauma medicine, a little bit of public health, a whole range of things. And whatever I tell people, whatever the commander needed me to be, all things health. So it was trauma, it was water quality testing, it was primary care, it was stop the bleeding, establish the airway if I were on the back of a flight. I mean, whatever was needed of me. So it was a wide range of experiences as a flight surgeon. But my in-garrison job basically involved me taking care of air crews and ground crews. And as I would say, anybody who touched or thought about the aircraft was under my sort of medical control or medical care.
Okay. That's certainly logical. So you started out with helicopters. Did you get any stick time flying one?
I didn't get any stick time flying helicopters. Most of my flying time came later with fixed wings. So I spent a great deal of time riding and flying anything from C-130s heavies to riding in the back seat of F-16. So in total, over my 12-year active duty service commitment, my 12 years of active duty time across four different assignments, I amassed approximately 500 flight hours. I think I finished with just under, I was about 480 flight hours, which for a flight surgeon is a lot. It probably won't impress many of your carrier pilots or heavy pilots or long distance pilots, but about 500 hours. And I have primary time across about 25 different aircraft. The majority of stick time that I do have was in the backseat of an F-16D model. So that's the trainer model, even though an F-16 is a single seat fighter multi-role. They do have a trainer model, the D model, and I spent approximately 100 hours in flight time in the backseat of an F-16. So certainly learned a ton about flying, learned a ton about radio communications, learned a ton about airspace, learned a ton about restrictions, and anything from reading radar, FCR, to engaging weapons and all kinds of things. So really unique experience for me, and there was no civilian equivalent to what I was doing in the military. I absolutely loved it, Colonel.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Dr. Ryan Freeland. So, Doc, when you got out, we both live in Grand Rapids, Michigan right now, and that's where he has his practice now. Did you get out and start here, or did you start somewhere else as a civilian?
I actually started back here in Grand Rapids. So I grew up in West Michigan. I've always considered myself a West Michigander. And after my years in service, 17 in total, which is 12 active and 5 as a reservist in the Air Force, I separated in 2017. And my last assignment was on teaching faculty in the dermatology department at Walter Reed Bethesda in Maryland. So I separated with 12 years active duty at that time and essentially returned home. It was very much a homecoming to me. I returned back to Grand Rapids, Michigan, not far from where I grew up, because it was important for me to help care for the communities that raised me. And I started my private practice dermatology focus here on the south side of Grand Rapids. So my practice is called Wolverine Dermatology. We are a private dermatology practice in network with a number of different hospital systems in Grand Rapids. And I now employ close to 30 people, including two physicians and two PAs. We have five total providers and an outstanding team.
So it looks like you took your experience and put it to work doing something that made sense to you and the community needs. That's sort of good business planning, isn't it?
Well, I think so, sir. It has been a good business plan. And I tell people in dermatology, as with a lot of other medical specialties, I feel very fortunate to have trained in the military. I received outstanding training. I received training in a useful skill and was able to basically transition my military years into civilian practice and do something that benefited the community, that benefited community that I care a great deal about. And in terms of dermatology specifically, since there are a shortage of dermatologists and dermatology providers in Grand Rapids, the way I would sort of lightheartedly say this is, when I opened my practice in Grand Rapids, there was a shortage of dermatologists such that I felt like I was opening up my shop in the desert and offering free water, and the patients just showed up.
We got about a minute left, Doc. Final comment?
I would say I really appreciate being on the show. Thank you for having me, Colonel. I have nothing but positive things to say about the Air Force. I loved my experience. I spent half my year in operational medicine and half my time in dermatology specific career fields. I really loved my time. It was a blessing and an honor to serve. I'm grateful to be connected to veterans like yourself, and I'm certainly honored to continue to care for our community and the community that helped raise me.
Well said, brother. Thank you for joining us today, Doc. Thanks for your service to our nation, and thanks for your service to our community. You're a great friend and a great American.
Thank you, Colonel.
This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Next, we're going to talk about climate change. Has the climate ever not changed? Anyway, now it's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time. Do about 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. We'll be right back.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S. only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum, patriotfoods.com, promo code freedom.
Military leaders have called our national debt the greatest threat facing America, and for good reason. We're more than $32 trillion in debt and counting.
Meanwhile, Congress continues to throw money at the Pentagon and Veterans Affairs with no idea if the money is reaching its intended targets.
Concerned Veterans for America fights for more responsible spending from Washington so Americans remain safe and prosperous in the future.
Visit cbafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cbafrontlines.com.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome Greg Whitestone from the CO2 Coalition. Greg knows a great deal about the nonsense being shared in our schools and elsewhere about global warming and climate change, or whatever the current thing they're calling it now. And he's taken some action to get the truth out. So welcome, Greg. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, Danny. And you know, when I got into, I'm a geologist. What led me to write my first book was my own personal exploration for the truth on climate change. And what I found, frankly, angered me. We find a lot of misinformation that's being spewed every day.
Yeah, I guess I understand people advocating whatever, but when it gets into our schools and it's presented as not even something you can discuss, it's just, this is the truth, when it's not the truth. Because if it is the truth, you don't have to treat it like that. It's obvious that it's the truth. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, you don't need to silence those that disagree with you. In fact, when we talk about, particularly, that's what we deal with is science education and following the scientific method. And that almost, the scientific method demands that there should be a discussion or an argument on using both sides of the debate. And if their science, if they're what they are spouting in terms of a climate crisis that's driven by our emissions is true, well, you shouldn't be scared of a debate. But yet they are, and for good reason, because me and my fellow colleagues at the CO2 Coalition tell a compelling fact-based narrative about how there is no climate crisis, but rather Earth's ecosystems are thriving and prospering, and humanity is benefiting from modest warming and more CO2.
You know, if you and I were both scientists in some area, and you published something, the first thing I do after congratulating you is start picking it apart.
Yeah.
See what you did right and what you did wrong, and somebody else would do that too. And that's how, what you did was start the investigation. You didn't post the truth. Isn't that how science has always been?
Well, it's supposed to be, but it's been corrupted. We see it clearly in the education systems, the public education system. And what they're doing is promoting consensus science and groupthink rather than the scientific method and critical thinking skills. And that's what we at the CO2 Coalition realized about 2 years ago, that our members were very concerned that our students were being indoctrinated into a climate cult. Again, they were being fed only one side of a story that's quite a bit in debate. And we wanted to change that. I don't know if you're aware, but currently there are only two states in the nation that include the scientific method in their science curricula. We're trying to change that. We added North Carolina last year. Florida is the other one. And we've got a small team of people that are looking at the other states. It's such a basic thing. And it was best exhibited. We exhibited a year and a half ago in Atlanta at the National Science Teaching Association. We actually looked at their climate policy. They promote groupthink and indoctrination And consensus science is what they rely on. And science is not consensus. Consensus is not science, as it was famously stated. And if we, one of my favorite quotes about consensus was Dr. Richard Feynman, the noted physicist, who said, "I would rather have questions that can't be answered than answers that can't be questioned." Ooh. And that's what we have. Isn't that a powerful statement? And that's what we have today in the climate change debate. You're not allowed to question this narrative of human-driven climate crisis. You must be silenced. We had a double booth at that. This is their annual convention. 14,000 people in attendance. They kicked us out because we had the audacity. I was the prime author of the paper we put together. The title was Challenging the National Science Teaching Association's Policy on Climate Change. In it, we detailed everything they got wrong, and they didn't like it. And they kicked us out of the convention. And what a statement that is. They're the national science teaching, and nothing we have, nothing in that document. It was all science and exposed them for provide them being the ones providing the disinformation and misinformation. They just we said, "You're silencing science. You're censoring us." And then they went and did it.
Well, now there's no debate. Wouldn't we all be in terrible trouble if the medical science people did the same kind of thing?
Well, they kind of did, didn't they, in COVID?
Yes.
I mean, we saw what happened there. But we did something about it. We formed a committee. Most of the committee are PhDs, and I'm a geologist. Most are PhDs in physics, chemistry, and the like. We put this committee together. We've created a website, co2learningcenter.com, co2learningcenter.com. We provide free materials for homeschoolers primarily.
These books are aimed at kids, but they're for kids of all ages, like my age too, right?
Oh, absolutely. My college kids love me. Adults, they you hand it to people and you can't hardly put it down. It's captivating, but it's also most of the adults I talked to, it was just published last week, by the way. So this is just hot off the press. And you can go to co2learningcenter.com, download a PDF of Chloe the Clownfish or any of the others. There's no charge. This is our mission. Our mission is to provide materials for charter schools, public schools, but primarily the people reach that really like what we're doing in the homeschool parents, grandparents. So we've got, importantly, along with this, the books and the educational videos, we have lesson plans that have been received warmly by the homeschooling community. And of course, these are all provided by us at no charge to the parents and teachers. And we can provide large numbers of books because this is our mission. This is what our donors wanted. We told them we're going to provide this material at no charge for teachers and parents, and that's what we're doing.
You know, that's awesome, and it's helping America be America. One, it lets us use our brains again, but two, it puts the truth into our hands so that we can make decisions based on real truth, not some propaganda. I wish we had more time to talk about it, but this is vital if we're going to have the next generation or the current generation using their heads properly, right?
Absolutely. So go to co2learningcenter.com. And the CO2 Coalition website is co2coalition.org.
So that's where you can go to get that stuff. If you don't remember it because you're driving or something right now, just plug in to me through frontlinesoffreedom.com and I'll get it for you. Greg, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your clear love of our nation and of truth. I look forward to having you back on in the future, and we'll probably have to have some of your authors back on to talk about these books because I think they're awesome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Colonel.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Gil Mazza will discuss the actions on our southern border, and we'll open our weekly mail back. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying silver and gold to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com. That's universalcoin.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen, with each arm, then twice, and then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your questions and comments. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for what we normally call the Marine B&B, but we're modifying it this time to focus only on the border. For some reason, there seems to be a lot of activity down there. And Marine vet Gil Mazza, a retired border patrolman, is going to take it from there. So, Gil, give us a quick review of your time in the Marine Corps and your time in the Border Patrol.
All right. Well, Colonel, when I was 17 years old, I signed up for the Marine Corps. And at 18, I took off from a small town called Douglas, Arizona. And I started and embarked on probably the first greatest adventure I ever had. It was the most challenging, most life-forming, life-changing before my conversion to Christ, to Jesus, that I had ever had. And I found out that somehow under that environment, I could thrive. So I spent from 82 to 86, worked at HAMS 39 Aircraft Ordnance in the Camp Pendleton. And while at the time I was kind of a troubled young man, it turns out, Colonel, that that experience basically facilitated my second or the best greatest adventure I ever had, which was the United States Border Patrol.
How long did you work there?
25 years, San Diego sector.
Okay. It's my observation that things are a little different on our southern border right now. Can you sort of give us an overview of where we've been and where we are now and where we appear to be going?
I sure will, but first, though, I'd like to just wish you a happy Day Without Immigrants Day. Today is the official day that's being put out on social media that illegals and other ones are not going to show up to school, to work, to go shopping or anything else like that. So we're being boycotted by the illegal aliens in our country. So I hope you can get through okay.
Well, it'll be tough, but we'll make it.
All right. So we are in the hangover stage, Colonel, of the greatest and deadliest taxpayer-funded illegal immigration event and border security breach in the history of our country. And that is measured by every measurable metric. So we had an idea of the damage that the Biden administration had been doing to this country through security breaches, through importing, you know, hundreds of thousands of illegals from 170 different countries without any vetting, without any kind of accountability whatsoever. So Americans were beaten, robbed, raped, murdered on a daily basis by illegal aliens, you know, here in this country. And not only that, but the trafficking, the human trafficking aspect went up like 600%, literally tripled, quadrupled, because our border was literally left unmanned and unsecured. And that is what we thought, that it was only going to get worse if Kamala had gotten reelected, if this administration, who knows how much more damage could have been done. And I thought for a while that it was going to be unreversible. But God granted us a reprieve, Colonel. God granted us a reprieve. Donald Trump got elected. This generation, which I thought wouldn't wake up properly for another generation, woke up.
Well, you're right. Things are different now. What's the difference for the Border Patrolman now than before?
Well, first of all, they have a Department of Homeland Security secretary. Their boss is now an enforcement-minded individual. Kristi Noem has come out guns blazing. You know, she has moved nonstop since she took the position. She has been, she was in Del Rio sector yesterday. She's running around making the rounds. She's out there doing ride-alongs, riding horses with the horse patrol. She is basically restoring their honor and integrity back from being turned into an agency that was nothing but a processing corrections facility, asylum, you know, granting, releasing agency, which is goes against everything we were made to, created to do, to now a purely enforcement posture. And that right there makes all the difference, because the word I'm getting from across the country is, Gil, we are shutting down the border. We're not releasing anybody. And we're now, we know we can go out and get the job done. And that is basically to remove all those criminal alien savages that this last administration allowed to be released into the country with no thought whatsoever of the consequences. And our agents have having to basically helplessly watch as it all happened right before their eyes.
So what I think you're telling me is, for the past 4 years, men and women who joined to help protect our border were forced to basically help process illegals in, and now they're going back to doing what they joined to do. Is that a fair summary?
Yes, sir. At an alarming rate, right? So here's the irony of the whole thing. After 9/11, DHS, CBP, ICE, all these organizations were put under the umbrella, right, of Homeland Security for one express purpose: to protect our homeland and to secure our borders. And for the last 4 years, the Biden administration invited Alejandro Mayorkas, who was the perfect man for the job, to come in and literally bring our immigration system to its knees. And while our soldiers are getting fired for not getting a COVID vaccination, our law enforcement, federal law enforcement officers getting fired for no COVID vaccination, this last administration allowed untold millions of individuals, unvetted, unvaxxed, unsecured, to flood our country. I mean, just the magnitude of it, right, boggles the mind.
But it's different now. But isn't it hard to suddenly turn from one thing to the other, or was it not that hard?
Well, the funny thing, Colonel, is that Tom Homan took us all by surprise. Even those of us in law enforcement, even those that were on, you know, in CBP, DHS, active agents and officers, because he came in full bore, full steam ahead. And so that has taken almost all of us by surprise. But now, all those resources that were used before to release criminal illegals across the country are now being used to hold and deport. And that's the name of the game right now, deport. We're going after the known criminals. We're going after the criminals that have warrants for them. We're going after the individuals that already have deportation orders for them. And that's just the low-hanging fruit, right? That's just the easy pickings, because after we do everything we can. And by the way, we're bringing in the military. We're bringing in transports. We're bringing in it's all hands on deck for this. And so it is right now it's going nonstop, and already cities feel safer, and people and a lot of these people are self-deporting.
You know, I guess the illegal immigrants and those who wanted to be illegal immigrants have got the word, and some of them, as you pointed out, are self-deporting, and I'm sure that some are not approaching the border where they would have 6 months ago.
True. And here's the thing, okay? The cartels are not going to give up that border that they've had full control over for the last 4 years easily. In fact, just a few days ago, we had a 3-hour firefight right there on the border of Fronton Island in RGV sector in Texas. And so now they're starting to realize that with the full brunt, with the full force of the military, right, with Pete Hegseth is going to come in, and he said, we're going to give Border Patrol, ICE, DHS, full support. And so the next time something like that happens, I'm assuming and I'm thinking that we're going to be able to call in air support if we need to, because now that the cartels have been declared by Donald Trump a terrorist organization, we can use the full force of the military. And so I think everybody better start to get suited, booted, and strapped, because it's going to be all hands on deck.
We're about out of time. Any final comment?
Well, I'd just like to say this. For those people, that the naysayers that are saying that only the Mexicans are getting deported, only one out of every four are coming from Mexico. We still have 170 different countries that we're dealing with their illegal aliens coming in and all those things. And as far as who's going to pick the crops and who's going to wash our, clean our houses and do our landscaping, how about we get legal immigrants to come in? We could completely populate that overnight. But the problem is you're going to have to pay them a fair wage. So the solutions there. It's just a matter if both sides are willing to do what it takes to get the job done. And right now, Trump's going to hold him to that. And I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Gil. Thank you for being part of the Frontlines of Freedom team.
Thank you, Colonel. I wish Skip was here. I kind of did miss him a little bit, but we'll catch him on the next time.
You bet we will. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. About 64 this time. I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code Frontlines. That's uslawshield.com, promo code Frontlines.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin is the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a really great place to go to purchase silver and gold. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Send your thoughts to me at frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, William wrote, is there any word on a pardon for Corey Claggett? And Martin asked about getting a congresswoman to work for free Corey.
Well, Corey was released on parole about 2 months ago. He's living with his fiance. I don't know if he yet has a job.
And Army vet Shannon is very pleased with the new leaders in the Trump administration. They all seem like good, appropriate people.
Agree, Shannon. There's a lot of negative to be cleaned up. We now have good people working to straighten out our nation. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 13 February 1861, during the Civil War, the earliest military action to be revered with a Medal of Honor award was performed by Colonel Bernard Irwin, an assistant army surgeon serving in the first major U.S. Apache conflict. In southeastern Arizona, Irwin volunteered to go to the rescue of Lieutenant George Bascom, who was trapped with 60 men of the 7th Infantry by the Chiricahua Apaches. Irwin and 14 men, initially without horses, began the 100-mile trek to Bascom's forces riding on mules. After fighting and capturing Apaches along the way and recovering stolen horses and cattle, they reached Bascom's forces on 14 February and helped break the siege. Although Irwin's bravery in this conflict was the earliest Medal of Honor action, The award itself was not created until 1862, and it was not until January 21, 1894, that Irwin received the nation's highest military honor.
Wow. And on 14 February 1864, during the Civil War, Union General William Sherman entered Meridian, Mississippi during a winter campaign that served as a precursor to Sherman's March to the Sea. This often overlooked campaign was the first attempt by the Union at total warfare, a strike aimed not just at military objectives, but also at the will of the Southern people. Sherman's goal was to destroy the rail center at Meridian and clear central Mississippi of Confederate resistance. Sherman believed that this would free additional federal troops that he could hope to use on his planned campaign against Atlanta, Georgia in the following months. Sherman led 25,000 troops east from Vicksburg and ordered another 7,000 under General Smith to march southeast from Memphis. They planned on meeting at Meridian in eastern Mississippi. The Confederates had few troops to stop Sherman. General Leonidas Polk had less than 10,000 men to defend the state. Polk retreated from the capital at Jackson as Sherman approached, and some scattered cavalry units couldn't impede the Yankees' progress. Polk tried to block the roads to Meridian so the Confederates could move as many supplies as possible from the city's warehouses, but Sherman pushed into the city on February 14th in the middle of a torrid rain. After capturing Meridian, Sherman began to destroy the railroad and storage facilities while he waited for the arrival of Smith. Unfortunately, Sherman failed to clear the Mississippi of rebels, and the Confederates repaired the rail lines within a month. Sherman did learn how to live off the land, however, and took notes on how to strike a blow against the civilian population of the South. He used that knowledge with devastating results in Georgia later that year.
And on 10 February 1942, during World War II, a Japanese submarine launched a brutal attack on Midway, a coral atoll used as a U.S. Navy base. It was the fourth bombing of the atoll by Japanese ships since December 7. The capture of Midway was an important part of the broader Japanese strategy of creating a defensive line stretching from the western Aleutian Islands in the north to the Midway, Wake, Marshall, and Gilbert Islands in the south, then west to the Dutch West Indies. Occupying Midway would also mean depriving us of a submarine base and would provide the perfect launching pad for an all-out assault on Hawaii. Admiral Yamamoto, mastermind of the Pearl Harbor attack and commander of the Japanese combined fleet, knew that only the utter destruction of our naval capacity would ensure Japanese free rein in the Pacific. Japanese bombing of the atoll failed to break through the extraordinary defense put up by Admiral Chester Nimitz, commander of our Navy in the Pacific. Yamamoto persevered with an elaborate operation called ME, launched in June, but the Battle of Midway was a disaster for Japan and was the turning point for our ultimate victory in the Pacific. One of my favorite battles to study, Colonel.
It is awesome. And on 12 February 1973, the release of our prisoners of war began in Hanoi as part of the Paris Peace Settlement. The return of our POWs began when North Vietnam released 142 of 591 U.S. prisoners at Hanoi's Gia Lan Airport. Part of what was called Operation Homecoming, the first 20 POWs arrived to a hero's welcome at Travis Air Force Base in California on February 14th. Operation Homecoming was completed on 29 March when the last of our prisoners was released and returned to the United States. And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself and your family? These situations can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to it being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you can find yourself in the legal system. It's the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought that would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership today, go to uslawshield.com and use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
The St. Petersburg Police Department said at 1:30 p.m., officers were called to a house under construction. Police said there was a disagreement between a general contractor and a subcontractor tile worker. The tile worker began to smash completed tile work when the general contractor, identified as Mustafa Ab Adu, went and got a gun out of his truck. Abdu was threatening the tile worker when the tile worker's father pulled out his gun and shot Abdu, according to police. Abdu died from his injuries. Police said the shooting was justifiable self-defense and no one was arrested.
Thanks, Colonel. This incident is a great opportunity to talk about three things. First, let's talk about out-of-control ego. The general contractor named Abdu got into an argument with a subcontractor. We're not told what the argument was, but it's irrelevant. Abdu attempted to use the threat of deadly force to win the argument. If he'd been the only man with a gun, it probably would have been successful for him. But in a pro-gun state like Florida, you're probably not the only one carrying a gun. Abdu's best course of action would have been to leave his gun in the truck and instead use his cell phone to call police and let them untangle the mess. If he'd done that, then the tile worker probably would have been questioned by police for destroying private property. Second, Abdu demonstrated unchecked anger. He got mad, went out of his way to go get a gun, and then pointed it at someone whose only crime was to destroy some tile work. Even if Abdu hadn't been killed, he most likely would have faced criminal charges for threatening the tile worker at gunpoint. Third, we also need to discuss the out-of-control ego and the temper of the tile worker as well. No one was charged in this case, but that doesn't mean the tile worker was as pure as the wind-driven snow. After all, it was his ego and anger that started the whole mess in the first place. Here's the bottom line, folks. There are some things worth dying for, and for me, those things are God, family, and country. I won't die for my ego. It's not worth it. And my ego and anger is also not worth killing someone else over either. If you carry a gun for self-defense, first decide in your own mind when you're willing to use deadly force. And one other thing. Once you start carrying a gun, you need to become the most polite person on the planet. Instead of spewing angry words, the tile worker and Abdu could have de-escalated the situation simply by leaving or backing down. Instead, one man is dead, and two others are faced with knowing their lack of wisdom and restraint ended in the death of another man. Frontlines of Freedom believes strongly in the warrior mindset, but we also believe that the best war is the one that can be avoided.
Well said, Skip. Our movie of the month is The Present. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your thoughts to me at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, China expert Gordon Chang will discuss Greenland and the Panama Canal. Then Army vet Danielle Engel will discuss her time in combat, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase this book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.